Brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and visitors, a very good morning to one and all. I'd like to welcome you to New Life BP Church. It is an honor to have you. I'd like to thank the Lord and the session for giving me this opportunity to share His word this morning. Considering the many painful local and global events which had happened recently, I have chosen to speak on the topic overcoming grief. I pray that the principles from God's word may encourage, comfort, and strengthen those in this time of mourning and pain. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega. You know all things from the beginning to the end. You are the sovereign Lord, and all things are in your control. You direct, plan, execute, and determine all things, all circumstances, big and small, to accomplish your perfect will. Lord, when we look at the world, we tremble. We are fearful, and we are lost, Lord, because of the things that are happening in the world. Because there is so much disorder, chaos, and decay. Humankind has become increasingly wicked and evil in so many ways. As a result, Lord, we are reaping the consequences of what we have sown. All that is happening in the world, Lord, the earthquakes, tornadoes, torrential floods, climatic disheaval, pestilences, diseases, disasters, and accidents are reminders of your imminent coming. Have mercy upon us. Grant us much grace to grow through this time of tribulations and trials, and by your strength and help to remain faithful, steadfast, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We pray for the parents and loved ones of those who passed away in the recent ferry accident, Sabah earthquake, the freak accidents, and the MERS infection, that your love and mercy, grace, and comfort may be with them at this time of mourning. Grant hope and closure to those who are still missing. This we pray in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grief is universal and part of human experience. Loss is part of life, and grief is a natural response to loss. On March 23rd, 2015, our first Prime Minister, the late Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, passed away in SGH, and Singaporeans, both young and old, even non-Singaporeans, went into a period of mourning. On 2nd June this year, a ferry capsized after it was struck by a freak storm in the Yangtze River in China, claiming more than 400 people, mostly adults. They died instantly, and only about 16 people were rescued. This was their worst maritime history in 70 years. On 5th June, an earthquake struck Ranau, Sabah, with magnitude of 6.0, the strongest to strike Malaysia since 1976. 18 people died on Mount Kinabalu. Most of the dead were Singaporeans, students, together with two teachers from Tanjong Katong Primary School. There was also an adult guide with them. Thankfully, some 130 plus people were stranded on the mountains. They were subsequently rescued. Back home, a national Sepak Takraw player in the SEA Games met with an accident on the 7th of June, and he was immediately warded in ICU, fighting for his life. His brother, who was riding with him, died instantly in the accident. Besides the above, we heard that many Koreans have succumbed to MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And there are frequent reports of death from natural disasters, freak accidents, outbreaks of pestilences and diseases, terrorist attacks and killings, refugees fleeing from such atrocities, etc. We are saddened by these events, and our condolences and prayers go out to the parents and loved ones of those who are involved. It is indeed difficult to hold back the tears when we read these accounts in the newspaper. The preacher is right. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to weep and a time to love. A time to mourn and a time to dance. What is grief? Grief is a multifaceted response to loss, particularly to the loss of someone or something that has died, to which a bond or affection was formed, although conventionally focused on the emotional response to loss, it also has physical, cognitive, behavioral, social, spiritual, and philosophical dimensions. Grief is derived from the French word grave, meaning a heavy burden. There are five stages of normal grief that were first proposed by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in a 1969 book entitled On Death and Dying. The first reaction in grief is denial and isolation. This is a temporary and normal reaction as we try to rationalize overwhelming emotions. Denial is a defense mechanism that buffers the immediate shock so as to block out the words and hide from the facts. Stage two is anger. When the first stage begins to wear, the reality and its pain re-emerge as anger. This anger may be aimed at inanimate objects, strangers, doctors, caregivers, friends, family, and may even be directed at our dying or deceased loved ones. Rationally, we know the person is not to be blamed. Emotionally, however, we may resent the person for causing us pain or for leaving us. We feel guilty for being angry, and this makes us more angry. The third stage is bargaining. The normal reaction to feelings of helplessness and vulnerability is often a need to regain control. We often reason, if only we have sought medical attention sooner, if only we got a second opinion from another doctor. Or if only we had tried to be a better person toward him or her. Secretly, we may make a deal with God or any higher power in an attempt to postpone the inevitable. Bargaining is another defense mechanism to protect us from painful reality. Stage 4 is depression. At this stage, sadness and regret predominate. There is a concern about the practical implication relating to the loss. Example, we worry about the cost and barrier. We worry that in our grief, we have spent less time with others that depend on us. It may or may not be easy to separate and to bid our loved ones farewell. Finally, acceptance. Not everyone may reach this stage of mourning. Death may be sudden and unexpected, or we may never see beyond our anger or denial. It is painful to face death without closure, or if the opportunity to make our peace is denied. This phase is marked by withdrawal and calm. The next slides list the common symptoms that may be seen in a grieving subject. I let you read for yourselves. Coping with loss is ultimately a deeply personal and singular experience. Nobody can help you go through it more easily or understand all the emotions that you are going through. But others can be there for you and help comfort you through this process. The best thing you can do is to allow yourself to feel the grief as it comes over you. Resisting it only will prolong the natural process of healing. The above is adapted from psychecentral.com. You may like to refer to the website for more details. Grief, like we said, is an universal human emotion. Grieving for our loved ones is appropriate and expected. Several Bible characters experienced deep loss and sadness, including Job, Naomi, Hannah, and David. Even Jesus mourned after his good friend Lazarus died. When he came to where Lazarus was buried, he saw Martha, Mary, and other mourners weeping. He also wept. In his humanity, Jesus identified with men in their pain and grief. This is very surprising, given the fact that Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. The Son of God chose to participate in the grief of the situation with the sons of men. Jesus was in solidarity with men in their sadness. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, it is mentioned that Jesus is the true high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. The Lazarus passage has much to teach us on how Jesus used his impending death and resurrection to teach his disciples how to cope with mourning by understanding the person, the power, the love, and the purpose of God in all circumstances. I do not have time to elaborate on this. Please read those passages yourself. As parents, what can be more traumatic than the death of a child? Children are expected to outlive their parents. Such an acute loss will bring with it an overwhelming sense of pain and lingering grief. It is a life-altering experience that presents unique challenges to parents as they seek to rebuild their lives without their child. As we have read, King David went through such a catastrophe when his newborn child died 7 days after his birth. Several valuable lessons can be gleaned from this passage of Scripture. They can help us as parents to cope with grief and to face the future with hope. We first notice that King David prayed. He prayed fervently for his child's life. That's found in verse 16. Praying for our children should be true for all parents at all times, and not just when times are difficult. Parents should be mindful to always pray for their children, that God may watch over them, to protect them, to give them wisdom, and to guide them. They should pray also that their children will heed the admonition of the Lord. Secondly, King David's reaction to his child's death is most revealing. When the child was stricken, King David prayed, fasted, and wept for him 7 days. Upon learning that his child had died, he arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he returned to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. In his actions, King David not only accepted the death of his child, but he gave it all over to God in worship. Now, the ability to worship and honor God in a trial or crisis is a powerful demonstration of our spiritual confidence in our God. I'll say that again. The ability to worship and honor God in a trial or crisis is a powerful demonstration of our spiritual confidence in our God. Doing so enables us to accept the reality of our loss. And this is the final stage of coping with grief, which is acceptance. This is how God frees us to go on living. Like David, we need to learn to turn loose what we cannot change. Lastly, we notice David's hope. In verse 23, he says, "But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him. I will go to him, but he will not return to me." 2 Samuel 12:23. This revealed his confidence that he will meet his son again in heaven. This passage, many commentators believe, is a powerful indication that babies and young children who pass from this world before they reach the age of accountability will go to heaven. There are many biblical exhortations. For example, in Ecclesiastes 7:2 reads, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living were laid to heart." This verse implies that grief can be good because it can refresh our perspective on life. Death is a reminder of our mortality and the frailty of life. Indeed, for believers, this world is not our home, but heaven. Psalm 30, verse 5 reads, "Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Take heart. There will be an end to mourning. Grief has its purpose, but it also has its limit. There is joy in the aftermath of mourning for all believers. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face eventually. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." For believers, our eternal hope is with God, who will make all things new. Hallelujah. God will keep his promise. Grieving a loss is a heart-rending journey. There are no guidelines or rules to our mourning. There is no certainties of the outcome. Remember, as we have mentioned, grieving is a personal process that has no time limit, nor one right way to do it. To overcome grief, believers need to remind themselves of the following. 1, go to God for solace and help. Follow the example of King David. Pour out your grievances to him. Spend time reading his word and promises. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." If we believe in this verse, likewise we must also believe in the verse 6, which says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it? These two verses should go together. And Psalm 56 verse 8 says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" Let me paraphrase this. David says that God keeps count of his tossing, put all his tears in the bottle, and recorded it in his book in a most touching way. God is reminding us that he does not disdain our tears, but collects them as liquid prayers of help. He is taking note of all our tears. Like Jesus with Lazarus, God will enter into our grief also. That's why meditation on the cross and the resurrection of Christ will help us to cope with mourning. Secondly, wait upon God and trust in him. While waiting, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." He will help us to untangle all the knots we have inside us. He will be our refuge, comforter, and strength. And Romans 8:28 assures us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to His purpose. God is faithful to all His promises. Thirdly, express your grievances and pray to Him. God made us and He understands us completely. Use the Psalms for your prayers and meditation to keep your mind and heart focused on Him. Interestingly, do you know that in many of the Psalms, the psalmist may start with grieving, but they usually end with praises in their songs and testimonies. When we commune with God, we open our souls to the manifold truth of God, that He is faithful, sovereign, almighty, and loving. God is our hope, and He will help us to overcome our grief. Lastly, seek support from others in your mourning. We should share our grievances with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just like when the brethren gather together in the vigil of Brother Gilbert, the previous, last night and the previous night, we were together helping him to cope with his mourning. The body of Christ or the church is designed to bear one another's burden and to mourn and to mourn with those who mourn. Sometimes healing comes quicker in a group or community setting which is able to provide a listening ear, compassionate heart, prayerful lips, and a guiding hand. Often the grieving party tends to shun others, increasing feelings of isolation and misery. This reaction should be avoided as it may hamper recovery. Seek support from other believers in your mourning. Others can be there for you and help comfort you through this process. In conclusion, we recognize that grief is universal and part of the human experience. Loss is part of life, and grief is a natural response to loss. Christians are not people without hope, for our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us, and He has died to save us. We know that Jesus Christ is strong enough to carry our burdens. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5:7, he says, "We can give our hurts to Him, for He cares for us." We can find solace in the Holy Spirit, who is also our comforter and overcomer. In our mourning, we cast our burdens on Jesus Christ, rely on the strength of the church, dwell in the truth of God's word, and ultimately experience hope and joy of God. There are two verses which I'd like to the whole church to read. The first one is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is our memory verse. I want to say that this verse is very close to my heart. It has helped me overcome many difficulties. Let us read this verse together. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I'll close with this assurance from the Lord in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Let us read together. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into the within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord bless us in this worship. Amen. Let us pray.